Last week we spoke about the everlasting covenant. And the covenant's been on my mind for several weeks. And we mentioned some tokens of the covenant just in passing, but I want to talk about tokens or signs or marks of the covenant today, specifically the everlasting covenant. But first I want to talk about a few or the word token. It's used in many different variations, or the word covenant or testament is translated from the same word, Greek word, and it has a lot of variations to it, but each one of the variations means has with it a idea of a sign or a mark, or that by which a person or a thing is distinguished from others or is known. It's a sign, an unusual occurrence transcending the common course of nature. It is used of miracles and wonders by which God authenticates the men sent by him, or by which men prove that the cause they are pleading is God's. So, we use tokens or signs or symbols every day in our lives. We use them to remember the covenants that we've entered into. And just one that everybody knows about is this little thing on my finger. It's called a wedding ring. And even in the marriage ceremony, the pastors will say this ring is a token of the covenant that you've entered into together. Now, the wedding ring itself is not the marriage. The wedding ring is just a token of the vows that you've made to each other, that the love you have for each other, and the commitment that you have for each other. So the ring is not the marriage. It's just the symbol of the marriage or token of the marriage. And just in that same way, if you take the ring off and you sell it at a pawn shop, or you throw it in the ocean. Y'all have seen movies where women have taken off their wedding rings and threw them in the ocean, okay? Or out in the woods. That in itself is not the dissolution of the marriage. That doesn't dissolve the marriage. That's just a symbol or token that the marriage has already been dissolved, because the ring is not the marriage. The ring is just the token of the marriage. So we use tokens every day in our lives, as far as what we are able to see and remember. Now, I want us to think about, there's a lot of different tokens and a lot of different covenants that tokens represent. Now I want you to, and one major one that everybody can see, not everybody knows what it's a token of, but everybody sees it, unless you're blind, is a rainbow. Now the rainbow, God gave that to Noah as a token of the covenant that God made with himself, that he would not destroy the water of the earth anymore by water. And that token was given to Noah to remember that when he sees it, that says God promised that he wouldn't do it, and I remember that he promised he wouldn't. So those tokens are for our remembrance. And not only was it for Noah, but God said, when I look down on it, I'll remember. You know, God looks on his own tokens. He looked on that rainbow and he says, no, I'm not going to destroy it by water anymore. Now, I want us to remember that that token was given to Noah, but and it was just something so, it was given for him, but it was a token of that covenant that God made. Now, God gave that covenant to Noah, but Noah, he did not put that covenant in subjection to Noah. If Noah looks up in there, Noah doesn't have the power to make it flood. And he didn't have the power to keep it from flooding. So you see how the token is for remembrance for him, but though he didn't have any power to make it come to pass or not. So these tokens are signs or marks or banners, if you will, of something that God entered into by himself. And some of them are between men that he gave men, and man is to uphold his part. Now, that's not the way the everlasting covenant goes, but sometimes God did make a covenant with the people. You know, he said, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Now, there's another covenant that God made, and he gave a token. And this is very important. I mean, the rainbow is very important. Aren't you glad when you see a rainbow? That it's not just a pretty thing that we see in the sky. It is that. But it's more than that. It's for us to remember that God made a promise, and he made a promise with himself. So when we see a rainbow, we need to remember that that's a covenant of peace, he said. Now, there's another covenant that he gave Abraham. And the covenant that he made with him was that all the nations of the earth would be blessed, and that his seed that would come after him. You remember we talked about that last week. The seed is talking about Jesus Christ. And he said, and this is the covenant that I will be your God. I'll be a God to you. Your God. I am the creator, but you're going to know it. And this, I'm going to be a God to you. Not a little G God, a big G God. And the token of the covenant was circumcision. Now, most everybody in here understands what it means to be circumcised naturally. So naturally, God said, this is a token of the covenant that I made with myself. Now, I'm giving the token to you, and you're to keep the token. If you don't keep the token, then you've broken my covenant. Not that you could break it from God keeping part of it. But and because you can't break the everlasting covenant and make God stop his covenant, because he can't deny himself. He's God. But we can break the covenant, and some of them broke the covenant. This was 8 days you were to take every male child and circumcise them in the flesh. And this was a sign that you're part of my covenant. It wasn't the covenant, but it was a sign or token of that covenant. So whether they did the sign or not didn't have any bearing on whether the covenant was still there. But it was There was some lot of things we need to think about this. Bible says that if a man was not circumcised, then he would be cut off from his people. Now let me ask you this. How many 8-day-old infants ever spoke up and said, I want to be circumcised, or I don't want to be circumcised? Not one. That circumcision was of totally the decision of the father to do it or not to do it. All right? Now, as an Israelite, you were commanded to do it. You didn't really have a decision to not do it, but he just commanded them to do it. But if they didn't, they'd be cut off from their people. And I want us to remember, too, that an Israelite was able to buy a stranger, like I'd be able to buy Talon or Jared or any one of y'all, except for Sonia, she's my wife. I'd be able to buy you as an Israelite if you were a Gentile. And I have to pay money for you and pay a price for you so that you're my possession. And if you're my possession, you had to be circumcised if you were a male. You had to be circumcised. If not, you were out. That's going to make a difference later on. Now, because that's just a fleshly covenant. And it's just a symbol of the heavenly covenant. Aren't y'all glad that he put in there about strangers? Aren't you glad that a stranger could be bought with a price? And if he was bought with a price, then he would be circumcised. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a commandment. I'm excited about that. Now, I want us to remember, I said all that about those examples because there's a lot of other signs and wonders that confirmed that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, Jesus not only is the sign that God is keeping his covenant, but he is the covenant because he's God. Y'all understand that. He's both. The fulfillment of that covenant and of the everlasting covenant. And he's also the sign that God was serious about the covenant he made, the everlasting covenant he made. So, but I want us to think about some of the signs or tokens that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And the Bible is full of them. And I'm just going to hit, you know, the high points, the obvious ones. There's a bunch of them. So there were many signs and wonders that Jesus did to confirm that he was the Messiah, the mediator of the new covenant. Now, this new covenant was not, it was only new to the Jews because they only practiced the old. Y'all get that? The everlasting covenant had been from before there was even the world, from before the foundation of the world. But they were given the symbol of the real covenant in their practice, in their laws, in their worship. Everything pointed to Christ, which was the mediator of the new covenant. Remember, it wasn't new to God. It was just new to them. Now, it was really an accomplishment of the everlasting covenant, of which the old covenant was just a picture of. Y'all get that? Y'all get that? So before the foundation of the world, God made that everlasting covenant. Then he gave them the laws and the signs and the worship service, which only pointed to Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of that original everlasting covenant that never was not in effect. But it had to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, so the birth of Jesus Christ, let's think about that. Jesus Christ was heralded by the heavenly hosts. I mean, angels heralded his arrival on the earth, which all of the Jews were looking for. And the shepherds saw it. That was a sign. The angels speaking to the shepherds, that was a sign that God had a son born of a woman. His birth fulfilled so many prophecies beginning in Genesis and continuing throughout Malachi that he would be born, and that was a sign. You know, that star in the east was a sign, wasn't it? The wise men came, they said, we've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him who is born King of the Jews. They knew that Jesus Christ would be born, and that sign was not the covenant. It was a token of the covenant that God promised. My son's going to be born the Messiah. Y'all get that? These are just tokens or signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus comes and he's born, and the Bible says that before he knows how to choose the good and refuse the evil and all this, and back in Isaiah, so many prophecies about his coming that were fulfilled in his coming. Now, not only were they fulfilled in his coming and his birth, but Jesus was baptized, wasn't he? Jesus came to John, walked about 70 miles, and he was baptized of John. And it was pretty important to Jesus to do that, wasn't it? John said, I have need to be baptized of thee. And Jesus says, suffer it thus to be so now. For it becomes me, or to fulfill all righteousness. It was a righteous thing for Jesus to be baptized. And you remember after he come up out of the water, you remember what happened? An angel descended and lit upon him like a dove. And then the heavens opened up, and God spoke with his own voice and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, God's voice didn't make Jesus his son, did it? But it was a token that declared that he was. That spirit descending in the form of a dove and lighting on his shoulder, it didn't make him the Son of God, but it declared him to be that. It was a token or a sign that this is the Messiah. So these tokens are things that we have that can assure us that Jesus is the Christ. So not only his baptism, but his life. Think about all of the things that confirmed that he was God's son in all the fulfilling of the prophecies. Think about his healings. Think about his power over the natural elements of the world in calming the seas and the winds. Think about his changing the water into wine. Think about all of the things that Jesus did, and especially in his raising the dead. Those were just signs that let people know. There were banners that said, there were pointing neon signs that said, "This is the Christ. Hear ye him." When he took James and John up on the mountain, the Mount Transfiguration, they, Moses and Elijah were there. Maybe Isaiah. I think it might have been, I can't remember. Esaias, Moses and Elias, Elijah were up there. And Peter says, "Oh, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's make tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elias, and one for thee." So Peter wanted to make three tabernacles, really, to worship Moses, which who was the mediator and the giver of the law. Elias was the prophet that prophesied about Jesus. And then Jesus. So Peter is wanting to worship the law, the prophets, and Jesus. And then a thick cloud descended, and the voice of God thundered and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Hear ye him. You don't have to go back to Moses and worship Moses or worship the law, because Jesus is the fulfillment of it. You don't have to go back and worship the prophets and make a tabernacle to worship them, because all they did was prophesy about Jesus, and this is him. Hear ye him. Forget about the law and the prophets. Don't worship them anymore. Worship my Son. So that was a sign to Peter and John, what, James and John. That was a token. I mean, God, but God saying it didn't make Jesus his Son, but it declared to them who they ought to worship. Now, not only was that a sign, but his life in healing the sick, raising the dead, healing the lepers, and preaching the kingdom. Many tokens pointed as a sign to his being the true Messiah. Not only that, but his lineage declared it. He was the only one that fit every, that checked every box that was required for the Messiah to come. To be the Messiah. You know, when we have job, when people list a job description as, you know, we're seeking for someone to fill this position, they'll say, must have, number one, experience. Number two, must be good at data processing. Must be able to type 100 words per minute. Must be a good communicator. Must be adept at social media. Must be blah, blah, blah. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And the list for Jesus Christ to be the Messiah, or for the Messiah, was very long. And Jesus marked every one of the boxes. He fulfilled every prophecy of his messiahship and gave tokens of that by the things that he did and said. Now, we've got not only his life was a token that he was a Son of God, but his death was a token that he was a Son of God. Do you know that when they put him on the cross, they were fulfilling prophecies? When they spat on him and put a crown of thorns on him, when they did all those things, when he was abused and rejected by men, all that did was a token that this is the Messiah. They were fulfilling prophecies of what would happen to the Messiah. Them doing the tokens didn't make him the Messiah, but it declared him to be a fulfillment of the prophecies that he was. Do y'all get that? Now, not only his death, but his resurrection. His resurrection was a token and declared him to be the Son of God. I'm skipping over a bunch of stuff and a bunch of citations in the scriptures, but you get the point. His death, his resurrection declared him to be the Son of God. His resurrection didn't make him be the Son of God, but it was a token to help us remember that he is the Son of God, that he is really who he said he was. John said, shall we look for, art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? And Jesus gave John, or John's messengers, a bunch of tokens for him to remember and know that he really is the Son of God. He said, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That was a token that Jesus gave to John, that you need not worry about whether I'm him or not. All these things are the tokens that I am the Christ. The poor have the gospel preached to them. No less of a miracle than healing the blind or a leper, making him clean. You know, that's amazing. The gospel being preached is a miracle. Jesus put it in there with all the other physical miracles, and it is a spiritual miracle for a poor sinner to hear the good news of the kingdom of God. It's a miracle. Now, if somebody was sick, and there was no... And you know why it's a miracle? Because it's unnatural. Those things don't naturally occur. By the kingdom and the gospel being preached, it doesn't appeal to natural flesh. And it doesn't happen to a natural man. It's totally unnatural for a natural man to hear the word of God. He can't do it unless he's been born again, circumcised in heart, not in flesh. Circumcision of your flesh may be a great thing for health and hygiene, but it doesn't have a thing to do with your eternal security nor home. That all depends on the circumcision of the heart. Now, the Spirit of God is another token. It is a token of Jesus Christ being come in the flesh, because it gives us witness, doesn't it? That's what the Spirit of God does. But it does more than that. It not only gives us a witness that Jesus Christ loves us and God loves us, but it gives us the witness within. It gives us, when you're born again, you love the things you used to hate. And you hate the things you used to love. That's unnatural, isn't it? It's unnatural because natural man love the things they love and hate the things they hate. They love natural things and they hate spiritual things. A man that's born again hates natural things. I mean, as far as the things they used to love, like revelings and drunkenness and idolatry and all that stuff. Natural man still loves all those things. Spiritual man hates those things. There's a change that comes about when the Spirit comes on you. And that change is a token to you. You being changed, or you having that new thing, didn't make, you know, our decisions or whatever don't make us have that new birth. But they are a token that we have already been born. You know, baby Andy's here, and the first picture we got was a live picture. And do you know what I heard her do? I heard her crying on there. You see, that crying is a token to me that she's alive. But that crying did not make her alive. It just let me know that she was. It was a token to me. Now, in the new birth, a child of God cries, Abba, Father. They cry out to God because they're born. They don't cry out to God in order to be born, but their crying out to God is a token that they're His and He is their Father. Do y'all get that? So many people in the world don't. I mean, in the Christian world, don't understand that you must have life before you can cry to God. Most of them think that you cry to God and then He gives you life. It's not that way, naturally nor spiritually. Annie didn't cry to become alive. She cried because she already was. Now, it's the same thing with the spiritual birth. There's a lot of tokens that we have as that let us know that we're children of God. Circumcision of the heart. You know, really, what circumcision is a cutting. It's a circular cutting. I mean, naturally, of the flesh. It's a circular cutting. And the purpose is to expose something that's hidden. And it's a token. And that circumcision of the heart exposes what you really are. It exposes something that's hidden. Now, the new birth is done by the power of God, by the Spirit of God. That's how we're born again. Every person is born again the same exact way, by the same exact method. And every child of God that feels God within him, that new birth is it's a token that you're His. You know, you've always been His because He foreknew you. You're part of the everlasting covenant. But it took the blood of Jesus Christ to pay for your sins, and it took the Spirit of God to born you again to expose what God already knew. And that's a vital work. It has to be done. And the Spirit will do it. So this is one of those things that had to be done, but it also is also a sign. You know, just like Jesus had to die and the blood had to shed His blood for the remission of your sins, But us remembering that is also a token. It's the real thing, but it's also the token. The new birth is a real thing. It's not just a token, but it is a token. That when you have that, you can rest assured that you're a child of God. Now, God gave some tokens to the church. And if, I'm sure he gave more than these, but these are the most important of the tokens. You know, he gave baptism to the church. Our baptism is an answer of a good conscience towards God. It's not what gives you a conscience, but it's what makes, it's an answer to the good conscience that God gave you. And baptism, when I see somebody that's been baptized, that has gotten up and declared their love for the Lord Jesus Christ, that wants to be identified with Him, that readily stands up and pleads for the mercy of God and for the communion and fellowship of the saints in joining a church and identifying with Jesus Christ, that is a token to me that they are a child of God. Just one. But he gave that as an ordinance to the church, and it's to be carried out, to be perpetuated throughout the history of the rest of the world. And that's how we do show forth the Lord's death and burial and resurrection, is through our baptism. It's really an answer of a good conscience, and it's a token also for others that you declared before all, just like in the marriage when we make the vow. We put a ring on the finger as an emblem or a token that we have made the vows. Now, you may have loved God for a long time, but when you come and be baptized and join a church, you're declaring to all that you are marrying the church. You're no longer just dating her, that you're all in. You've made a vow, and here you go. Now, it's a declaration. Now, not only was it the baptism that he gave us as a token or ordinance of the church, he also gave us communion. And this is very important because Jesus Christ is called, or his blood is called the blood of the new covenant. And the new covenant was dedicated or consecrated by his blood. Jesus' blood actually cleansed us from our sins, and we are called to remember it. Now, Jesus' blood is just not an emblem. It actually did the redemptive work. It actually was the sacrificial blood of sprinkling. And when we partake in the communion, Jesus said in Luke 22 and verse 19, he took the bread and gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in what? Remembrance of me." What are tokens for? They're for remembrance. Every time I look at that ring, I remember my vows. I remember the covenant that Sonia and I entered into. God remembers his covenant with Noah when he sees the rainbow. Noah remembers the covenant. I don't know if he still does or not, but I'm sure he does. But whenever someone that is a God-called, Bible-understanding, Bible-reading person that knows that there was a covenant, when he sees that rainbow, he remembers that God made a promise. And this communion and this bread that they ate was a remembrance that Jesus Christ was, that he gave his body for them. Not to them, but for them. Now, and he also says, likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. He didn't say this was his blood. He said this is a token or remembrance of the blood that I shed for you, which is shed for you. It's the New Testament. Testament and covenant, same Greek word. This is the new covenant, which was actually a fulfillment of the everlasting old covenant that him and God and his spirit entered into before the foundation of the world. Now, he says, this is a this cup is the New Testament in my blood. It's an emblem. It's a token of it. And when you drink of it, you remember that I shed my blood for you. It's a token. When you drink of that cup, it doesn't make you a part of the covenant. It helps you remember that you are a part of it. Y'all got it. These tokens are remembrances for us, and they're very important. Very important. Not to be neglected at all. Now, there are some other tokens that he gave the church. His presence with us when we gather together to worship as a congregation. He promised that he'd be with us. And this is not just talking about congregations. A lot of people use it, you know, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And that really is in Matthew 18 talking about the reconciliation of two people that have a quarrel with one another, a brother, that are really seeking the Lord. Now, it didn't say two or three that are gathered together to fulfill their own wishes and desires, but gathered together in my name as the common goal. So we've got these tokens with us, and he promised, he said, in the midst of the church, I will sing praises unto thee. That's what the Lord said. In Hebrews, it speaks about his meeting and singing with us. Now, that's a great token, isn't it? You know, a couple weeks ago, we were at our fellowship meeting. And I will tell you, that meeting, I witnessed something that I have only witnessed a very few times in my life. In America. I witnessed a whole house full, the whole congregation, praising and worshiping God as a collective. Not one person that I saw was on their phone playing two dots. That's what they accuse me of a lot. Not in church, mind you. Not one person was balancing their checkbook. I've seen that in church. Not one person was flipping through the book, the song book, during the preaching because they were bored. Not one person was thinking about, I don't think, anything other than worshiping God and how good He was. And friends, I'm going to tell you this. If that's not good enough for you, and the Spirit of God is not good enough for you, the simple worship and praise of God is not good enough for you, then you're going to be dissatisfied in heaven. That's a bold statement, ain't it? I'll make it again. If the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not good enough for you in all its simplistic complexities of the Spirit, y'all get that? It's a complex thing to understand what goes on at a church service unless you're a part of it. And it's simple singing and praying and preaching with one heart, one spirit, and as one body, as a congregation of believers, singing and worshiping God as a collective. If that's not good enough for you, you're going to be disappointed in heaven. If you think there's more, there's got to be more, then you're going to be disappointed in heaven. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? That's all right. I'll make them. It's true. Because we're going to be singing. We're going to be worshiping God as we ought to worship. As we ought to. Sinless. Without restraint. You know, there have been a few times in my life when I've worshiped God without restraint. And those are the best days. Those are the best days. It's a token. That to me was just God sent. It was a God sent token to me that He has not forgotten nor forsaken His church. He still meets with us. And that was a wonderful token to me. You know something else that is a token that He gave the church? He said, He gave us a promise, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's wonderful, isn't it? That's a great promise. But He gave us a token of love. He said, you love me because I first loved you. If you love God, it's a token that He loved you first. Your loving Him didn't make Him love you back. He loved you when you weren't lovable. He loved you, and that was the cause of our love to Him. So that's a great token. Do you love God? It's a token that you're His. It's more than that, but it is a token that He loved you. You know something else? Another token that He gave, and it has to do with love. We love the brethren. That's a token. When someone loves their brother, gives themselves for their brother, it is a token that God's love rests upon them. John said, hereby we know that we love God when we love the brethren. See, our loving the brethren doesn't make God love us. But it is a token for us to know that God loves us is when we have a love for the brethren and we demonstrate the love for the brethren. It's not just saying that we do, it's demonstrating that we do. And who's the brethren? Is it your natural brother or sister? I hope you love your natural brother or sister, but you might not. It's the other strangers that have been bought and paid for that live in the same house. And it's the circumcision of heart that makes you a brother or sister. And when you love other people that have had their heart circumcised by God, then you know that God loves you when you love the brethren. These things are... I don't know that I've ever preached about tokens before. But these things are very important, and it's all through the scriptures. All through it. You know, I find myself sometimes when I read, or not sometimes, always when I read the Bible, I'm like, I make a mental note. You know, I need to find out all the tokens. I need to look for tokens whenever I read. So that's a little mental note. Then the next week, I'll think about, I need to start thinking about all the prophecies that the Lord fulfilled in His advent into the world. So that's something else I look for. And my list of things to remember, to look for in the scriptures is so long. Like the paradoxes of the kingdom of God. I look for those things all the time when I read. And the list keeps growing and growing and growing. But I just think about those things. And I'm going to start looking at the tokens more now than I did before. I pray that this has been a blessing to you. May the Lord bless you as our prayer. Doors of the church are open for reception of members. Should any have the desire to follow Jesus Christ in righteousness as an answer of a good conscience. I pray the Lord blesses y'all this week.